This podcast is brought to you by Cameron Parker and Carlin Parker. Some material is for a mature audience. Sit back and enjoy.
Honest, like, I'm not going to talk bad about Tyler. That man gave me a job and hooked up my situation.
I know, that's right.
So I appreciate everything he's done. I think he is brilliant in the way that he created his studio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the couch here at the Parker's Couch, and we're ready for a brand new episode with you. Brother, how you doing over there?
Almost Friday, so I'm excited. I'm happy to have our beautiful cousin with us.
I know, I feel like I fit right in because I'm a Parker too, so we all on the couch tonight.
Absolutely. Who you hear is our beautiful cousin, Valencia Parker, another Parker to the couch. And this is a special episode because, you know, we like to sit and talk TV, everything from sports, entertainment, politics. We like it all. So we said, why not bring someone in the family who is a writer and in the business themselves? Voila. The IMDb has things like My Wife and Kids, Born Again Virgin. Most recently, All the Queen's Men, which I'm excited to get into and find out some things about myself. You know, I know you can't tell us the secret.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. I'm not jeopardizing my job now.
Do that.
Never do that. But yes, definitely want to get into
Madam
some.
Coming after us.
Okay. You don't want Madam to come for you.
Definitely ain't trying to do that. You know, Valencia, one thing that really struck me with your Instagram and how it reads, your profile reads, cynical optimist, housewives lover, lover of words, TV, and all things beautiful.
Yep.
So the first thing we have for you is, what is on your couch? What are you watching?
Well, I watch Bravo. Okay, that is my number one channel. If I can't get a package with Bravo on it, I don't need to even be there. I was in a hotel. Actually, when I went for my last job, I had to go to Atlanta for shooting, and they put me up in a place, and they did not have Bravo as one of the channels.
Who doesn't have Bravo?
It was a Marriott Bonvoy something. I don't know. No, it was Autograph Collection, which I thought was the higher level of Marriott, but apparently not if you don't have Bravo. Like, I was offended. So I had my what's it called, iPad with me. So I just watched my TV on that. But so yeah, my couch starts with me on the couch watching Bravo. That's usually my first channel. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm is one of my favorite shows. It's in its last season and it's about to end, but I'm trying to just revel in it while it's still here. What else do I watch?
I got
to
catch up on Curb. So I'm a few, and I know my brother, he's more up to date than I am on it, but I'm the same way. We are definitely both Curb Your Enthusiasm lovers.
Me too.
I am sad that it's going away.
No.
But I got to pick back up on my Curb watching.
They take breaks that are like two seasons long. So I was like, okay, you got plenty of time. But yeah, this is the last season. But yeah, it is what it is. But we can enjoy it while it's here.
I'm a couple episodes behind, so I'm waiting to catch back up with Curb. So that's something I'm going to do probably this weekend.
I've watched every Sunday on Max watching it. I literally don't even want Max anymore. There's really nothing else on that channel that I really want to see, but I'm going to keep it till Curb goes off.
They're taking all of our shows away.
I know, right? Well, here's the thing. There's so many shows. I don't have time to watch all this stuff I really want to see. So...
That's so true.
I'm good.
Now, back to Bravo real quick. So we are big Bravo watchers as well. So we watch it. Now, we don't watch everything outside of the Housewives, but we do watch some things outside of the Housewives. I mean, Married to Medicine is just like Housewives itself.
Yeah. That's a house. I think you wanted to do another Atlanta Housewives, and they couldn't do two, so they did Married to
Medicine. Yes. And I watched like Martha's Vineyard.
I watched regular Summer House and Martha's Vineyard. And I watch Winter House. Those are my shows.
Okay, you do watch the houses. So I haven't gotten too much into the houses that much.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I should pick these up because we have actually have a Bravo chat with our friend. So Clubhouse, we used to be on Clubhouse a lot, if you remember. Okay. Clubhouse.
I remember Clubhouse. I was on it much, but
yeah. And so we met a crew of people on there, Bravo watchers. So we used to have Bravo rooms all the time.
And you remember they used to have the people's couch and they would watch the shows that we would watch and then we would talk about it and stuff. They still do that. I watch 90 Day Fiance on, I don't even remember what channel it's on. I just record all the stuff.
Yeah.
And they have TLC. The same. Okay. Yeah. And they do Pillow Talk now. It's called Pillow Talk. And talk about the shows. And like, if Pillow I don't talk, have anybody to watch with, I'll be like, I watch Pillow Talk to see who's thinking the same stuff I'm thinking.
What is so funny, Valencia? We had a Clubhouse room. We used to run rooms on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And that was the name of our room. The for People's real? Couch. That was our inspiration for the room. That was our show. We used to sit there and be like, this is us right here.
Like, man, if I could get that on was the our show. Couch, that's a job I would love. Just watch TV and talk smack. Because I feel like on the Pillow
Amen.
Talk,
man, bring back the People's Couch.
Talk is smack. They're so, I don't want to say too nice or whatever, but they'll be like, oh, I love this person. And oh, they just need a little bit of attention. Or whatever. But I'll be like, Natalie need her butt kicked. I can't stand her. Like that, I would go hard on these people, but I guess they have to be nice. So
I love it. I love it. So, all right. Housewives franchise. What's your, do you have a favorite? Are you watching them all?
I watch all of them. The only one I didn't get into was Dallas. I've watched every Housewife iteration from the beginning to now. I feel like Atlanta's always been my favorite. Last season wasn't that great, but that's still my people. Love Potomac. I love
it's kind of hard to let go of Atlanta because it was like that bedrock.
Right.
And everything. But I mean, you gotta be honest. They have not been.
They fell off a little bit, but Portia coming back this season. So I have hope.
Yeah, what are we thinking about Miss Portia?
I love Portia. She makes me laugh. She has some good reads. Her outfits be sometimes crazy, but sometimes cute. You just don't know what you're going to get, but you know it's going to be entertaining. I'm here for Portia coming back all the way.
And she's definitely giving us the Housewives drama right now. Everything with her and Simon going on.
I know, right? So I want to hear all that information, whatever she's going to share. Because I still kind of like, what is happening?
What is happening? And it was kind of confirmed. I know she had a post or they were going through statements she was making. And it seemed like all the recent allegations with Simon that were coming up was definitely a driving force for the divorce, which makes sense.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, this man obviously fooled you.
I know. But the thing is, how much did she not know? Because I just feel like if you have a daughter that young and you about to marry some man and bring your kid around this man for, you know, for life, I would be doing a lot more digging before I just jump and get married.
Hello.
So maybe she knew some stuff and was like, I'm going to just let it ride. Or like, I know some stuff and some money from this joker. Or maybe she just was like, you know what? I'm just going to be love is blind kind of thing and jump in and whatever happens, happens.
Portia wasn't as smart as people was trying to claim she was being. Somebody she learned from Cordell and all this stuff. That's what the streets was trying to say. Obviously not.
I always felt like she was so much like, I want to be in love. I want, you know, she. I felt like she Fair really could. Jump off. Oh, Simon? Could have been. He was a bag, in my opinion. I felt like it was
because
they're
both fresh out of a relationship. Exactly. They were both jump offs for each other.
You're right. And he had the money, so now Phelan's trying to be talking and saying stuff. And it's like, Phelan, shut up. Do nobody care what you guys say?
Nobody care. Nobody care. But I'm here for it. Are you in that plan of NeNe needs to be back? Or are you?
And it was sad. When Atlanta first started, I loved NeNe. Like, from the beginning, she was my girl. And then she just got too big for her britches. And I just felt like she was acting like she was above everybody and everything. And I just needed her to come on down. So I don't need her back. I'm good with her not there.
Yeah.
What do y'all think? I'm curious to know what y'all think about NeNe.
This ain't Phaedra.
Hey. I don't see how she could be back. I mean, just from the premise of whenever you try to sue your employer.
I know, right?
Like, I don't understand what that working relationship would even be like.
I wouldn't cut her no check. You would have to drag me through court to get another check from me if I was in.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense Mimi, for me she with her right being there.
Way too many. Yeah.
I just don't see how she hasn't, and I know she's expressed in her interviews and when she had that whole thing with Carlos and all that stuff, like the blackballing and, you know, all these things she's saying. But I'm like, okay. But I'm like, there is an element to me. Once you get to the status that she was, the way that the world moves now, you can't create your own stuff.
Right.
Easily. So I don't understand how she doesn't have her own thing or hasn't jumped into something.
I don't know. I think Mimi, like you said, burned a lot of bridges. And I feel like people don't want to necessarily work with her because they've seen how she acts on the show.
They don't want to work with
her. It's
like,
who wants to get in bed with somebody that's going, that's going to stab them in the back as soon as they don't get their way or something? Nobody needs that. So,
yeah, I agree. Now, and
she's as big of a star as she thinks she is, FYI. My opinion.
Oh, that's a burn.
I now, said
I heard that. I said what I said.
Okay.
And she did. Being from Jersey, do you keep up with Jersey Housewives a lot?
I do. And I'm going to say something that most people, I don't understand the love for Teresa. She's the worst.
Wait, is she worse than Melissa?
I love Melissa. This is what I'm going to say. Unpopular opinion. I love Melissa. I feel like Teresa is jealous of Melissa. Ooh. And she doesn't have anything that she has.
Cousin.
I see. I'm in the minority here.
Now, I'm not on the I love Teresa. Like, there's a lot of delusion.
She's not a felony for anything she does. And she is so malicious. She
But I do like Teresa more than I like Melissa. I'll tell you that.
Not like Melissa.
Can I just say annoying?
But why?
Do I have to have a reason?
Yes, because I feel like as soon as she came on the show, Teresa was like, she's the worst. I hate her.
Like she was trying to. I felt like she was trying to keep her brother away from her, though. And she was.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, too. I have a different view on stuff like that. Because I do feel like when you're married, your immediate family is your first priority. You can kick it with your sister when That's you're not true. Busy with my kids. But you're going to take care of mine first. And then, so Teresa was all me. And no, I'd have been like, Joe, you better sit over here and take time with your kids. And then you can go over there and mess around with the rest of them. But so I have
my issue more is with Joe.
Why?
I think he should be a better mediator between his sister and his wife.
I think he tried.
You think so?
I do. I think he tried. I feel bad for him. And I love Joe.
He didn't try hard enough.
We can't feel bad for Joe.
You can only do what you can do. It's really between them two. And if they...
You can't feel bad for Joe.
I do. Well, I felt bad for him. I don't know how many seasons ago when he was... I felt like he really was trying to bring the family together and mediate the whole thing. And it just... But Joe Giudice was also involved, and I don't think he cared. So I think he was playing a losing battle, and it just wasn't going to work.
It was a losing battle with Teresa.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she never takes accountability. And you know, Alexia's like that.
Word. We were watching.
Wait, Alexia's like what? Miami?
Yeah, but I do feel like this last season, she has started to be like a little bit more open to take responsibility. She still won't be like, I'm wrong, but she'll be like, well, I only did it because
she's never wrong.
Right, but she is, I think.
Alexia said far a day in her life.
I think Teresa's worse than Alexia. But I think they're very much the same.
Alexia, we can agree.
Similar.
Yeah.
I never thought about them being the kind of the same person. Mm-hmm. I got to think about that in my brain.
They'll never be like, I'm sorry for, you know, what I did. It'll be like, I'm sorry you felt that.
Alexia swears she's a star of Miami.
I know, right? And it's like, settle down, honey. Maybe 20 years ago.
Yes.
Now, I love Miami. Miami is like one of my top ones. Miami. Right now. Those girls,
they brought it back.
Miami's a sleeper. I love Miami.
It is. I think because they took that break, people were like, oh, they probably not that good. But Miami was always good to me.
I heard they're changing the cast. What do y'all think about that? They're changing, two members of the cast from Miami.
I heard Gertie might not be back.
I heard that.
Who was the other one?
I heard Gertie and Marisol.
I enjoy Marisol.
Me too.
I love Marisol. And she dresses really. I love her outfits. Not so much on Miami, but when she did the girls trip. Ooh, honey.
Oh, yeah. Ultimate girls trip. She was bringing it.
Yeah.
That's one thing about the fashion in Miami. I feel like they got the girls beat to me.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, for the most part, brings it.
I don't know, because I still feel like
Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say Beverly Hills. I just knew it.
Beverly Hills got some pretenders.
I prefer Miami.
I was looking at Dorit be doing the most. Every now and again, I'm like,
Dorit is a pretender.
This girl got a label on every moment of the day, and not all of it is cute. But sometimes, though, she'll bring in you.
Well, I'm about to read her like Jeff Lewis. He said, just because you wear a Chanel brooch doesn't make it Chanel.
Oh.
It's true, though.
It is true.
It's hated her reunion look, that red, whatever she was going with the cape thing.
I would say Crystal has gotten it together better.
Not a fan of Crystal's.
She's gotten her fashions together.
I don't like better.
Fashion-wise.
Yeah. No, but no, Crystal don't do it.
Crystal was so silent.
But Garcelle, looking a mess sometimes. I think Garcelle can give the girls down. She looks a mess sometimes.
She looks a mess a lot of times.
Like her style. Her style's not doing her any favors.
Her stylist needs to be replaced because see her in. And it's just like, you got a mirror, don't you? This is horrible. I feel like Garcelle is not representing for the people.
Mm. She's not. I say that. Say it louder for the back of the room, Valencia.
She looks
Where a mess. Where is Nancy?
I know, right?
What did you think about all that with going on in Beverly Hills this season?
Well, I feel so bad about the Kyle Mauricio situation. I really thought they had a solid marriage. And I love Mauricio. He's so cute. And I don't know. I just love him.
Everybody loves Mauricio.
I know.
I love Mauricio been cheating on that woman forever.
No, because it was never proven. It was just allegations. And then at first she was so evasive about what was happening, and then she had stopped drinking, and I did know Mauricio would be drinking, so I was like, maybe he's a drunk, and she just is like, I'm not trying to deal with this anymore. But then I don't think that's it, so I don't know.
And Kyle has been interested in the Lady Pond for a while. That's all I'm gonna say.
For a while though, I just knew about this last.
You go back and watch some earlier episodes of Beverly Hills, and you will start putting some pieces together.
Well, you're at the reunion, I was like, "Oh, she's there."
It's starting to add up.
You're like, "Oh, I didn't even." Oh, okay. And it's okay, I don't know why she tries to hide it so, how she's doing it.
And I psychoanalyze everybody. But I think it's because she's so much of a people pleaser from her childhood. And she just felt like it was not going to be received well if she did something outside the box or out of the norm or whatever. And so I think she's kind of fighting with herself. You know, like she might want to dive in all the way, but then she's kind of like, I don't know how it's going to look with my kids, or I don't know how it's going to look to my sister. Yeah, you know,
the girls,
whatever.
I think the girls got a big part of it. Her daughter.
Yeah.
Probably the main
one. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah, I can see that. And especially if you're doing it that late in your life,
right?
To come out, imagine that's got to be super tough.
That's a long time to be living a lie. But I won't say living a lie, because I do feel like she loved Mauricio.
Yeah.
You can love whoever you want to love.
Absolutely. So I wouldn't say a lie.
Her curiosity was probably always there. But then when she met, what's her name, Morgan? I think when she met that girl, then it was
Morgan.
Yeah, I do need to do this.
Now we know girls do this a lot on the down low. There are a lot of down low women that we just never hear about it. So
you're right. I do hear a lot about it.
I think she didn't want it to be public.
Probably not. But then at the reunion, when they were asking the questions, I was waiting for him to get into those questions, because I was like, I want to see how she's going to answer them. And then she kind of was like, you never know what might happen. So I was like, oh, she down. I feel like it's going to be new couple alert soon. As soon as her divorce is final.
As soon as it's final. Yeah, we'll see. That's interesting. And the last one before we move on to Housewives, because we could talk Housewives all day.
Yeah.
Potomac.
Woo! Now, Potomac then stepped up where Atlanta fell off.
They did. But now I feel like they're going into that Atlanta curse.
Everything
on the up and up. And now they're starting to tank.
Well, when you start saying, I'm not filming with this person and I'm not doing, you know, then you're messing with the show. And you're messing with our entertainment.
Exactly.
You know, so I probably have another unpopular opinion. I have a feeling y'all don't like Giselle.
Oh, no. My brother is a Giselle girl.
So am I. First of all, you know she went to Hampton, so that's my people.
I'm going to just let y'all I just can't.
Why do people hate her so?
I don't hate her, but... No, she's just not that girl. She thinks she's that girl, but she's just not.
I think she is. I don't feel like she tries to be like anything that she's not. I think she's just who she is, and I enjoy her.
And you talk about another one that ain't never done nothing wrong.
Robin.
Giselle, Robin, all of them.
Robin has always been boring.
I've been watching from Giselle. No.
Yeah, Robin has always been boring to me, but I don't mind her. She doesn't do it. Like, I don't care either way. She can go. She can stay. I'm not rooting for her. I'm not trying to get her.
Yes. We don't mind.
Yeah. Right. She can stay. I don't care. Karen is always entertaining. Candace is hot button.
Well, she's bye-bye now.
She's gone now. And I'm kind of happy because Candace is too reckless. She is too reckless with her mouth, and she can't take it, but she can dish it out. And that's
okay, because we're back on track. We're back on track. We're seeing eye to eye again now.
She was problematic. And I think they were like, we can't let this woman, like Monique got kicked off because of the fight. Something else happened. It seemed like every year she's in the middle of something because she can't stop popping off at the mouth. And it's
all
like
all the time. Yeah. Like she's going to do something and she ain't going to do nothing.
Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah, I agree. Like that, like she says so much all the time.
And
then want to like
Mary, like yes,
you can't say all that and then turn around and play victim.
Exactly, and that's exactly what she does. So
even the last fight, like okay, that was a lot from Miss Cookie Monster.
It was.
But even with that said, Candace, you said a bunch of foul stuff to her. Really foul. And I would have checked you too.
I would. Well, here's the thing. I don't know why people always feel the need to throw a drink.
I guess
in a girly situation, if you look really cute, I guess it's like, okay, well, I'm going to take away your cuteness and throw this drink on you. So I kind of get it from that perspective. But then I don't know why she needed to throw the glass at old girl.
No, that was a lot.
Yeah. But then I don't know what old girl did. She might have jumped in there and started swinging, you know? So
when I slowed down the video, because I did do that, and it looked a little bit accidental. Like, she was not, because the girl, Kiana, was trying to, like, grab her and stop her.
Yeah.
And, like, break it up, and she was wild with the glass. And whenever
I do feel like they were like, she was looking for a moment, and I do agree with that.
Totally. Deborah's completely in the wrong, 100%.
She shouldn't even been there. I mean, I get if she's friends with Ashley, but the thing is, we just met her last season when she came over to the house or whatever. She ain't that close to Ashley that she needed to be at that event. So
she did not need to be there
at all.
And not at all.
Nessie, I'm sure she did it on purpose, but I hope they don't let go of Ashley because I heard rumors that they were talking about
That's what I heard too.
But I don't. They're not going to have a show. Ashley brings drama in a good way.
They say Robin's gone. They say Candace, we know that. I heard Ashley and Wendy. As a rumor.
Okay, this might be unpopular opinion too. I cannot stand Wendy.
Okay, we are cousins again. Because I feel like me and my brother be the only ones having this opinion about Wendy sometimes.
This little
everybody
Facebook
be going up for her so hard.
Hard for her. And I'm like, she is such a pick me. Pick me. Let me be famous. I want you to see me. Look at my outfit. I can't stand her.
I see that, like...
And her mama be bleaching her skin.
Oh! Hello?
Nobody's talking about it.
Hello. Can we have that conversation, please?
I'm not seeing this woman's skin.
And then at least she was looking less bleachy on Watch What Happens Live.
She did what?
She was looking less bleachy on Watch What Happens Live recently.
Maybe she stopped using it or something. I don't know how that works, but I know in the episode early on in this season, mm-hmm. they showed a flashback picture. And that
I know what you're talking about.
And now she light-eyed and bright eyed and bright skinned. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And you can look at her hand on the knuckles. Oh, I'm always taking the knuckles, just so you know.
Okay. Oh, we would be a mess watching this stuff together because you said a lot of the same stuff we'd be saying. Okay. I'll let y'all have that little Giselle thing. I don't know what's going on.
They are famous for Belitas.
Okay.
Don't be a hater. Come on on this side of the team.
Right?
Mm-mm. Can't do it, won't do it. All right. So we're going to move on from the Housewives talk. And let's get into some stuff about you, Valencia. Man, just so, you know, learn some things from us, too, as cousins. Some things we may not even know about you. And then also just for people listening. Yeah. Just as far as screenwriting, I'm curious whenever you first knew you wanted to be a writer.
You know what's crazy? I don't even remember. Like, it's from a young age, but I don't. Like, I always knew I would write, but I thought I'd write books. Mm. And it's funny, the last family reunion I went to was 2019, and I was talking to Alvin, and he was like, I remember talking to you in the summer one time when I came up there, and you were like, I'm going to be a writer. And I was like, was that? I said,
just like I said that?
I must have always known. But I didn't think I was going to write for TV. Like, that didn't click for me until after college. It never even occurred to me that I could write for TV because I had never seen anybody who had written for TV. I never talked to anybody. It just wasn't anywhere on my radar. And then I actually went out to California with a friend of mine who was in grad school. She was screening something for school. And we ran into another guy that I went to college with. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm writing. And I was like, oh, what are you writing? He was like, on the Jamie Foxx show. And I was like, on a TV show? And then it was like, I don't know if y'all remember these old commercials for Reese's, but it was like, you put your chocolate in my peanut butter. You put your peanut butter in my chocolate. But then it came together and it was great. And it was like that connection for me. Like, I love writing. I love TV. This is what I need to do. And from that moment, I was like, I'm going home. I'm saving my money. I'm moving to California. And I did.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I moved out.
What's your sign?
Great.
Libra. My first big was Jamie Foxx show. The guy who I ran into who told me about his job, he got me a job as a PA on there. So my first job was answering phones on Jamie Foxx show.
Nice.
Wow.
And then that's
crazy. And from there, you just kept a connection. And
well, Jamie did a movie and we were down for like 2 months. And so I was still able to keep my job, look at God, and answer the phone. But the writer's assistants, like, they were all done. So one of the writer's assistants was like, I can't be out of work for 2 months. So she quit and got another job. So when they came back, I was like, y'all need a writer's assistant. I can type. And they were like, can you type fast? I was like, of course. And I could. So they let me get the job as a writer's assistant. So I was able to be in the room and see how everything was done from beginning idea to script to screen, like the whole shebang. And wow. It was a good learning experience. I ended up being a writer's assistant there. Then I went to Moesha after that season. And then one of the guys on Jamie Foxx show, the production coordinator, was on My Wife and Kids. And he was like, hey, they're looking for a script coordinator over there. Would you be interested? And I was like, of course. Got that job, and I was pitching stories. I was pitching jokes. And Don Rio, who was the showrunner at the time, he liked the stuff I was pitching. So he was like, I'm going to go ahead and let you do a script. And from there is history. They liked the script, and they put me on staff.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. And one of the questions I did have was thinking about, and you kind of hinted, and we could talk about some of this now. What does that process look like? From start to finish, it's like in a quick kind of way or whatever.
It's a lot. I think I've run into people that, you know, they hear what I do and they're like, oh, I could write for TV. And I'd be like, you don't even know how much work this is. And to be honest, it's not even like a work thing. Like, you just got to be in front of the computer 24/7. It's, you have to know what you're doing. Like, it has to be I don't say a gift, but you kind of have to have, especially for comedy. For comedy, I do feel like you have to have a gift. Because it's hard to write jokes that are going to span every, like, comedy's subjective. So I can say a joke today and y'all be like, but you know, if you're writing for TV, you need something that most people are going to relate to.
For the masses.
Exactly. Yeah. So you kind of have to be funny, pat on the back. No. but also no story. And so from beginning to end, it's like you got to have an idea for something. It has to match with the characters. It has to track with the season. You got to arc it out to make it make sense for a whole season going forward. Like, it's a lot of work that goes into it. So,
yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. And I just think about the team on the average project, like how many writers are in the room?
It's funny because when I started, there were like 10 to 12 writers in a writer's room, which I felt was good. But maybe I felt that because that was what I was used to coming in the business. And as the years went on, the rooms got smaller and smaller and smaller.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And especially on Black projects. I've only worked on Black shows, except for I did an animated show that was no color. But everything else has been a Black show and the rooms got smaller and smaller. So the last season that we did for All the Queen's Men, I only had three other writers. There were four of us.
And that's
ridiculous. It's an enormous amount of work to be doing.
That's crazy.
That little bit of people. Yeah. So the Writers Guild strike actually helped us. And we have minimums now that, you know, however many episodes you're doing, you need this many writers or, you know, stuff like that, so that you actually have a team that can help you. Because as a showrunner, like, you basically are writing a show by yourself if you don't have enough people to help you. And that's a lot of work.
So was the studio trying to save money? Is that the reason why they cut the budget?
I think so. I mean, our salaries, like, I don't write on a show if it's not a Writers Guild show, because you need to be covered and protected, because they will be like, well, just do it for $2,000. Like, all that work? No, no, no. So the Writers Guild has protections and there's minimums. And I think it was a situation where it's like, this is the only budget we have. So we can put four people in for this amount of money and that's it, you know, instead of saying, okay, well, maybe we should allocate more money in the budget towards the writer's room so we know we have good stories and stuff. And then, but I mean, it's all, you know, bottom line is the dollar. So they just got to figure out how to do it. Yeah. And for All the Queen's Men, I will say, I do feel like season four is about to be popping because we did a great job in the room, but also
a lot of people are you're absolutely right, because people are talking about that show a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully it'll be better talk because right. Like season three, I did the last five episodes of season three, but I take credit for it because I wrote them. But at the same time, Tyler had set up, so, you know, the whole up to that point. So I had to kind of finish off what he was doing and continue the storylines, you know, whichever ones we were going to keep and stuff. But I don't feel like it was us putting in the oomph, like, okay, this is my stamp on it. Season four, I feel like I put my stamp on it. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. So are you going to continue to write for All the Queen's Men?
Yeah, I'm the showrunner. I was the showrunner for season four. I had three other me, and so it
was showrunner.
Wow, I did not realize that. Okay,
yeah,
that is amazing. So I will say I'm still on season two, so I got to do a massive catch up.
That's okay. You got time. You got time. Yes, just finished up with the second half of season three, so they probably won't even run.
I cheated. I skipped your episodes.
Did you know what was going on, or was it like, this all makes sense?
No, I caught up. I mean, I will watch the end of some of the episodes to see what was going on, what happened. But I had to catch up to what my cousin was doing.
Okay. You got plenty of time if you want to watch all of them. I mean, listen, some people were like, I'm not watching this. And I was like, you don't have to, just watch from what I did.
There you go. I'm definitely going to catch up. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That is awesome. Awesome news.
You're proud.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm curious, though, how did that first come about, getting on All the Queen's Men?
You know what's crazy? I don't even honestly know. I'd be like, that was all God, because I don't know how I was on their radar. And I just found out actually how I got on their radar. So I worked with a guy who I worked on, what's it called? Casey Undercover. And Zendaya had an assistant who was also her one of her besties, and he knew one of the producers at Tyler Perry Studios. And so I think they were looking for writers, and he was like, oh, you should meet with Valencia. And we're friends. So he was just like, you know, you should meet Valencia. He never read anything I did, but God bless him. He was like, she's a great writer. And so they one of the producers just called me. She called me out of the blue. We talked about a project back in 2019. And then they were like, oh, Tyler's going to do it. So don't worry about it. So I was like, okay. But she kind of kept in touch with me. And so every so often, like maybe every 6 months or a year or whatever, I would get a text or an email, and she would be like, hey, what are you up to? We're looking for somebody to do this, that, and the third. And then it would never work out. Tyler would always write it all. So it was just like, why y'all keep calling? So in 2020, I got a call, and she was like, we're looking for somebody. We have some scripts, and we need somebody to rewrite them. And so I was like, okay. And she said they needed some work. I'll say that, because I don't know who's going to see this. And so I was like, okay, but if they need a lot of work, I'm going to need a lot of money, because it's hard to go in and fix somebody else's work, you know?
Yeah.
And especially if it was like, I hadn't read them, so I didn't know what to expect. Anyway, they were probably like, we're not paying her a lot of money. So they didn't have me do it. They ended up having somebody else do it. So then about 6 months later, I get another phone call. And so they were like, we wanted to talk to you about this show, because we're actually going to be able to do, this is the first show that they've had a writer's room on, because mostly Tyler writes all his stuff.
Yeah, so, which is a big, I'm going to say, is a big knock.
So this was the first time, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I really thought they were just meeting with me to be one of the people on staff for the show. And right. So I'm just walking, doing a little interview meeting or whatever, and then Michelle Sneed, who was, I forget her exact title at the time, but she was basically running stuff at the studio, was like, you know, we want you to run this show, right? And I was like, no, I did not. I had no idea. So I was like, okay, I'm super flattered that y'all think I can run a show. I think I can do it too, but I've never done it before. So let's try, you know? And they were like, yeah. So I was like, okay. And they had me, they were like, we're going to have you run the show.
That is amazing.
That's why I was like, nothing but God, because I don't even know how that happens. My level was not one of showrunner. I had worked on an animated project before that. And also, I never did a drama before. I had only done comedy up to this
point. Yeah, I was so used to you doing comedy.
Yeah. So it was new to me. And I had written a dramedy, and they read the dramedy. But it still was not a straight up drama. So it was kind of like, but I think they were like, we could probably get her for the Guild minimum showrunner, you know, price. Instead of somebody who had a quote that was super high at the time.
Yes.
I was like, I'm down for it, because to me, that was like the perfect opportunity to learn how to run a show, because it wasn't going to be worse than, you know, what it wasn't going to, I couldn't mess it up. I felt like I could have, let's be honest. I could have, but I knew that I had the skills to do a decent job, and I think I did a great job. So.
Oh man, that is great.
But you're a Parker, so you knew you was gonna make it.
Exactly. That's what I was like.
Rabbits out of hats all the time.
Okay.
That's what we do.
Okay.
Okay.
That's right.
Now, I'm not gonna do anything to jeopardize you. I'm just gonna make a statement. Boy. You ain't gotta say nothing, but I'm just like, see, I don't even know if I should go there with the whole Tyler Perry thing, because I love it. Respect. On one hand, I respect what Tyler has done. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And in different opportunities that, you know, he's brought and stuff for people. But this whole directing, producing, and writing every single thing.
A lot.
That's a lot. And you are shutting out, I feel like, opportunities.
These are the boys. My cousin.
And things start sounding too much the same all the time, and we need some diverse thoughts, you know.
I'll be honest with you, I never watched a lot of his stuff. There were some things I saw early on, and I was like, eh, and I just never watched a lot. So I don't know how, like, the overlapping of the voices, like, if it sounds like the same thing on every show. Somebody brought up something about another show, and I was like, I don't watch any of these shows except for the one I work for. Which is probably bad. But
you like, my TV is on Bravo. Don't y'all know?
What? The Bravo.
Okay. So, yeah, I was like, I don't know.
Thing because you came in with a fresh boy.
Yeah. And I'm glad that I didn't watch a lot of it because, to be honest, like, I'm not going to talk bad about Tyler. That man gave me a job and hooked up my
situation. I know, that's right.
So I appreciate everything he's done.
Right, exactly.
I think he is brilliant in the way that he's created his studio and the work model that he's created, which is great for him. But I do feel like he could, you know, take a break. Let some other people.
That's all I'm saying. Yes.
But I mean, he's gonna do what he's gonna do anyway, and he think about what nobody else thinks. So,
right now, would it be different? Is it very different? I guess for somebody entering the writing space now in 2024 than what it was whenever you did. Does that whole journey look different?
100%. Like if I was new coming into the business, I probably wouldn't even try to get on a TV show. I would try to shoot my own stuff. Because you know how many people are on YouTube? Most of the kids, I will say kids, most people 20 something and under don't watch TV. They watch YouTube. So
that's a good point.
They might turn on a TV show on like HBO they don't even call it HBO anymore, Max or some other show or channel or whatever. But for the most part, they're online. So I wouldn't even try. And it's so hard, like right now, especially like right now. Okay, I'll give an example. After the strike, there wasn't normally during the time that the strike was happening, there's development happening. So they're buying projects. And then in the springtime, they'll announce we're picking up these projects. These are the ones we're going to move forward to and shoot or with and shoot. But because we were on strike, development season got cut. So there were a couple of things that may have started right before the strike, but they didn't finish at the end. So they didn't get to go through a whole development project process and, you know, kind of say, this is what we want it to be. So there's not a lot of new shows coming out right now. And the ones that are coming out, there's only a handful. And the people who are on the shows that are coming back probably are keeping their same staff. They may replace one or two people. So there's not a lot of work right now. One of my friends told me her agent called her and was like, there's 300 people vying for one spot on a show, like a specific show. So it's very cutthroat right now. And if you are new and you don't even have the experience, you're not getting in unless you know somebody. Because sometimes, you know, if you know somebody.
I mean, that's how life works. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's very rare that you know somebody who is a showrunner and can bring you on. Because even as a showrunner, I tried to bring somebody on last season and I got vetoed. They were like, nah, we don't like their credits.
What?
And I was like, I got to be in a room with them. You don't even have to worry about it. But they was like, no. So I can't. You don't have the power all the time to do whatever you want. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Anyway, it's hard right now. There's a lot of people trying to get a job right now. A lot of people who have not worked since the strike. So,
there's still a lot of people who haven't worked since then.
Ooh.
Yeah, it should pick up by next year just because development season, people will be buying more things or whatever, and it'll start to get back into the groove. But as of right now, it's hard out here for a pimp.
Now, do you think the new programs like Tubi, the way they're coming up so much. And I be seeing things for Tubi all the time and how they're elevating their platform and they're looking specifically for writers and all these stories and a diverse stories to be told on their platform.
I hope it does. Listen, I've only seen Tubi in a way where people talk junk about it. Cause you know, like a bullet going around a tree and come back and
you laugh at it every day.
Crazy stuff. But listen, if they're going to give people jobs and make stuff happen, I don't know what the pay scale is at Tubi. I don't think anything that they put up is like guild regulated at this point. But, you know, who could say how long it would take for them to get there, you know? So, I mean, if you can sell something on Tubi, sell something on Tubi. If you can sell anything anywhere, I just feel like try to do the most you can, like write as much as you can. If you have access to people who can act in your stuff and shoot it, I would just do my own thing, to be honest with you. But
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I agree because I just feel like it's almost like the Issa Rae way.
Right, for real. And look at her now.
You don't know what to be picked up or what.
Yeah, I feel like young people kind of been the generation below us. I feel like they're not trying to work. They're trying to do as much as they can for the least amount of work. And if you can shoot some stuff, have some fun with your friends, and come out with a project that's decent, you got a shot.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Now, I totally agree. And for you, is there any, what's your hope, I guess, of next? Or is there a particular genre? Do you want to branch into film? Do you want to stay TV? Like, what do you see for yourself in the future?
I kind of just see whatever I want to do. You know what I mean? It's like, I do want to get back in the comedy space at some point. I never was really a movie person, but I wrote a movie with a friend of mine a couple of years ago, and that movie is funny. And we kind of tried to shop it around and nothing ever happened. Actually, it was more than a couple of years. It was a while ago. But okay. My agent called me in December and was like, hey, I was going through your stuff and I picked up this movie and started reading it. I think we can sell this. And I was like, well, okay. Let's sell it.
So, let's sell it.
We're trying to bring it back out and try and sell it. So I would love to have a movie. I would love to maybe do another one. But right now, I'm writing two things on my own just to have done before my next job starts, my next season starts. And I have an animated comedy and then I have a drama. So whatever.
I'm glad we got to get on Abbott.
Listen, I would love to be on a hit TV show.
Yeah. You like those are coins, guaranteed coins.
Television coins too.
Right.
Yes, I would love to be on that. But
Emmys and everything.
Yeah, she got her people, and I don't know that there's any more open slots there. But
there's no room left to end.
Right. Exactly.
We definitely don't miss an episode of Abbott from the beginning.
Yeah, I watch that every week too.
Such a great show.
It is.
I just have, what do you think is your favorite show ever that had the best writing on it? What's your opinion on the greatest writing television show? If we agree on this one.
My favorite TV show is Seinfeld.
I love Seinfeld. We're Seinfeld free. Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Seinfeld and Frasier. I think Frasier's writing.
Frasier too, yes. Great writing. Yes.
I love Frasier.
Actually, Frasier had better writing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Frasier's a better writing. Yes.
Yeah. Great shows, like two of my tops. Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy chops. I don't think I got the comedy chops.
Why you don't think so?
I don't know. You got the personality for it. It's great. You're like,
naturally funny.
See you write comedy.
Like, we're naturally funny. I don't know if I can write something that's funny.
Honestly, I don't know that I did at first. When I first got out here in the business, I would write stuff and it'd be like, oh, that's cute or that's funny, but not ha-ha funny. It's just like, that's funny, but not like, ha-ha, you know, kind of.
Yeah. Right.
But I was fortunate enough to be around comedians on a regular basis. And I do feel like it's a muscle that has to be worked and it'll start to work, you know?
So, Jamie Foxx is the funnest people. So
one of the most talented people I've ever encountered. He can sing, he can dance, he can play the piano.
Oh, he's
can
talented. Yes.
Everything. Yeah. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, cousin, you are welcome on the couch anytime you want to come.
Bring my blanket next time.
Uh-huh. And definitely, you know, once we get into some more housewife seasons coming out.
Yeah,
we're going into a little lull. I guess we're gonna. Did you see?
Well, Jersey's coming out soon.
I saw the previews.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that. Yeah.
Wait, which one you say?
Jersey.
Oh yeah, Jersey is coming out.
Long break too. I feel like I don't know. It seemed like a long time.
Long break. Yeah. They needed one though. That reunion was a mess.
It was.
That was a mess. We're gonna have the Bob coming back.
I love Black Dolores. I need her to get it together.
She is Black Dolores because with the Ozempic, between the Ozempic and the tans, yeah, she a whole different person.
Wait, can we go? Something's in that genealogy. Somebody that told her, somebody's not telling her something.
And they probably going to be like, she's Sicilian. You know they
and
dark.
She went back and she found something.
It ain't just Sicilian blood. That bitch is Black.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, definitely, this has been a pleasure. And like I said, come back anytime.
Thank you.
Yes, cousin.
thoroughly enjoyed this, and I'm going to be watching all the Queen's Men for sure and catching up. And now I know you showrunner. Oh, okay.
Flip. I'm going to have everybody watching this show. You better watch it. Watch my cousin. Okay.
That's right. Word out.
I know. And how can people get it, you know, keep up with you if they want to?
I'll be on Instagram as
Lens
Parker. And that's all.
There we go.
On the gram. All right.
It's me on the gram.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you future day. And see y'all later out there, Tater Tots. That's what we call our audience. Yeah, that's our Tater Tots. Tater Tots. Now I kind of want to. We're all couch potatoes.
That's cute. I like that.
This has been a Rosie B production. You can follow The Parker's Couch on YouTube and TikTok at The Parker's Couch. You can follow Cameron on Instagram, CDParker03, and Carlin Parker, Carlin1978, and on Facebook under Cameron Parker and Carlin Parker.